Tom Langston with the Nagormasen Podcast, episode 12. I've been out of the game with podcasting for about 7 months, but I'm back with some friends to talk about the summer anime season and also Otakon, which is happening next weekend in Baltimore, Maryland. So my guests this episode are Pats from Insert Disc.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
All right, and Alan from the Reverse Thieves and some Anime 3000 joints.
Hi. Remember, we are the number one Fate Stay Night / Galaxy Angel website and podcast on the internet.
All right, and a new person to the podcast, Donald, is it, from Otaku No Podcast? Yes, all right.
Greetings.
All right, so let's first talk about summer season because it's been going on for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And all the shows pretty much have had their first episode. Some of them are already to their third or fourth. Like previous years, there have been a healthy number of simulcasts on Crunchyroll, and Funimation doesn't seem to be doing any or so far. Although, let's see, there's some Bandai Hulu stuff, and then Sentai is, I guess, going to do three.
It's sad when Bandai has more simulcasts than you.
Yeah. Well, they're, I think, they launched their website, but they're still, well, they have continuing stuff like One Piece and
right.
I don't know what else.
Toriko,
yeah. It's like that's weird that it's like Viz and Funimation and they're also hosting it. But in any case, so I don't know where you want to start, but
just one quick thing that I found interesting: Nico, you know the U.S.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Nico,
they're doing
Nico.
A couple, yeah.
Yeah, they had a big sort of coming out party at Expo this year.
Yeah, seem like they're making a big push. So
yeah, that's they're cool. Doing their live streaming and they're actually streaming at Comic-Con right now as well. They've been doing that for.
I have to say, the stream that they did at Fanime, well, made my weekend. Like, I wasn't there, obviously. I spent way too much time watching that stream. There was just something about it that was fascinating, because you stick a camera in front of these people, and they're drawn to it.
And then the commenters criticize the cosplay. And
yeah.
The cruelest part about it is when they have the monitor with all the comments going across.
Oh, yes.
So Nico, the people
Nico
standing
style.
There... see yeah. the comments about them. And that's got to be one of those moments of...
Yeah.
I don't even know what word I'm looking for. It's just like masochistic to get on that screen. Because you're just asking for it no matter what. Unless it's some really, really hot girl, then you might be more creeped out.
Yeah. I was at Expo, so I didn't obviously watch a lot of the Expo stream, but the parts I did catch were, they were pretty lulls worthy.
Yeah, it's, I loved Fanime. I don't know if they're going to be at Otakon or not, but I like seeing their push, and now that they're streaming anime, though, most people I know that have tried watching it there haven't been very happy with it.
I haven't tried, so I'll make
I think you have to... pay to get like high quality and full screen.
Huh.
See, I watch stuff on Crunchyroll and SD, so you know, I'm rather happy. I watch Prince Sama every week and I don't have a problem with it, but
I still have to watch maybe at least one episode of that, because the opening I've seen a couple of times, and it's well animated, but...
It's obviously Brock Lee and whoever else really making a big push, because the animation is really well done, And they have like a new song every episode. And that can't be in any way cheap.
So it's like Idolmaster.
It's A1. It's A1. Isn't that Sony Studio? So that's probably why there's so damn much music. They're trying to sell games and everything. Yeah.
And it helps if you own a music empire.
Yeah, pretty much.
But if nothing else, I think when Anime News Network and all of them, they had one of those, what's the most popular anime of the season? Prince Sama was number one.
Yeah.
You got the Fujoshi vote.
There you go.
But yeah, so I have not seen any Prince Sama, like I mentioned. But some of the other simulcast, Bloodsea, I'm seeing as one of these Nico simulcasts, but I didn't know about that, so I was watching it the old-fashioned way. And it seemed okay. The action at the end of each episode was, you know, production IG, so it was really well animated. And even some of the school day stuff was okay, you know, but it just seemed like there's all that 2/3 of the episode is that stuff, and surely some of the stuff will come into play later, but you know, if you're trying to draw people in action and then they have to sit through some of that, I don't know, were you...
Oh yeah, I thought that it just seems to come out of nowhere. It's like, she's a klutzy girl, and then nothing happens. And they build up these moments of tension where you think, oh man, something's going to happen, and then nothing happens. And then at the end of every episode, she comes home, and it's like, time to whip out my sword to defeat a demon, I guess. I'm not exactly sure how these two stories are linked together, but I guess they are. All right, see you next week.
Well, there's a like hot guy at the school who, you know, will probably either be against her or with her. But yeah,
he has a real Lee Shaoran from Clamp, from Cardcaptor feeling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm sure that he'll be like all cool dare, but actually on her side. But too cool to tell her that he's on her side.
And there seem to be like a couple of other Clamp stereotypes, like the twins at the school, the cafe master, who I like remember at least in like Cardcaptor Sakura, there was someone like that or similar, and maybe it was just the older brother who seemed like that or something, but.
Is Chi in it?
No.
Aww.
I don't think she's in it. So Bloodsea, I'll continue to watch it because it is simulcast, so it's less work that way, I guess. I don't know. Let's see. Maoru Penguin Drum seem to be the one that has gotten the most surprise attention so far. And
That's actually the only show I've watched so far. And there's a big reason for that. It's really, really awesome. And it's the director of Utena. I know Al has been loving every second of it so far.
Oh, it's wonderful. They rock. They rock all over Japan.
Yeah, and it's I wasn't, like, I read some short post to start the season about what I was interested in. That didn't make it, maybe just because of the description and the key image, but I actually saw all this buzz about it. I watched it, and I'm going to watch it week to week now, because it's just the whimsy of some of the capers, and then this whole fate versus not fate thing, and I have heard that it was by the director of Utena, and I had thought and watched that, but now that the box sets are now out there from Nozomi, I'll probably start that sometime soon. And you know, the transformation sequence, I guess they'll do that each time. It's not too long, but it reminds me of Magical Girl transformation sequences where it's about a minute, but sometimes later on they shorten it. But I think because it leads into dialogue each time from Hat Lady, I don't know if we've actually... It's the Possessor.
I just call her the Penguin Queen.
Penguin Queen.
But she has not named herself. She is just somebody from the destination in their future.
Yeah, and I guess this is going 24 episodes, so there's going to be some turns, and I think the director is even, or the producer had said on some stream that there's going to be some turns in the plot line.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's going to be something really interesting to watch. And that you mentioned that it wasn't on your list at first, it seemed like it kind of, outside of the people who were really excited about it because of who was doing it, it seemed like it was kind of being ignored, maybe because of the weird name or the weird title. Not to say that people were deliberately ignoring it, but it seemed like it had been forgotten in a way, because I'd seen lists that, like ANN's list, it wasn't even on, like their list of what shows are coming up before they did the actual previews. It wasn't even on that list, if I recall correctly.
Slipped under my radar.
Yeah, exactly. People just, it kind of disappeared, and then it started airing, and everyone went, holy shit.
And then the buzz started up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's... Oh, go ahead, Al.
It's really funny, because as I've heard about it in the past, and then I totally forgot about it till I was looking for what shows... Like, did we miss any shows? And I found, oh my god, I don't know how we missed Penguin Drum. And I checked online, and there were like 6 or 7 previews. So I think in Japan, they were at least pimping it. But for some reason here, yeah, it just seemed to sneak up on everybody.
No, it's not being simulcast either, so it's probably not going to get the casual buzz unless... Like Aniplex or decides to come out, but I don't think it's one of their or the production by them anyway. It's like AIC Plus or something. Oh, Brainsbase, that's what it was. Okay. Yeah,
it's really a shame it's not being simulcast too. Because if you look at what is, it's like a real waste. But maybe that could be a sign that it was something hard to get or something like
that.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. We never know, you know, what the production companies in Japan say. You know, maybe they say, you know, no, they have some outrageous licensing terms or something. You know, we never know.
Yeah.
It's not like we have a fly on the wall in the negotiating room or anything like that.
I got some of the properly simulcast shows. So earlier today, I watched the first couple episodes of Number 6, which was one that I knew as a Noitama no show and by Bones, so I was interested because of that. And I actually really liked it, and especially the action and sort of the world building, this sort of future technology after a... some war, they had to rebuild city-states, and so it's not like our current world. And, you know, there's an escaped prisoner and someone who's brought it from a comfortable life into this hard world, but he's accepting of it. He's interested in the thrill of it. So, and that one is on Crunchyroll, and so, Al, did you see that as part of the...
Oh, yeah.
Whole?
Yeah, I saw it. It's really good. I like where it's going. I wonder if the title is in any way a reference to Patrick McGowan's The Prisoner.
Oh, yes. I had the same thought.
I thought it was just like the world, because they said there were six city-states, and the one where the guy is at in the start of it is number six, but there are other ones, like the girl said she was going abroad to number five. So I think that's it, but that could be something else, too.
Maybe even an unconscious reference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, as overused as the, you know, the plot is, it interested me. I admit it's one that I wanted to follow. And I was actually just about to start watching it this afternoon when this podcast started, because I'm super way behind because of Expo and a huge mountain of work that hit me right after Expo.
Yeah. So I won't say much of the details and probably not, but about much of the stuff, because there may be people who, you know, are hearing about these shows and have not actually started watching them. So, but yeah, that was Bones. I know some of the eyes definitely look like Bones' eyes, from like Full Metal Alchemist and some other things. But yeah, so that was really good. The other Noitama show, Usagi Drop, is a little more laid back, but
it's a feel good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very cute. It's very, you know, this older guy has to, you know, take in a unwanted relative who's this little girl who is technically his aunt. And yeah. It's just, yeah, it has a warm feeling.
Yeah, it has like a light color palette.
Yeah, that's the artwork is kind of interested me. It's I don't know, pastels or watercolors, or it has that sort of, you know, muted, you know, look to it.
Do you guys know any of the controversy about the series?
I know that a bunch of people are getting worked up over the ending. I don't know what the ending is. I don't want to be told what the ending is, but I know that it's been working people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just going to warn everybody that, the ending is very divisive. Some people find it really creepy, some people find it really odd, some people like it, but I just wanted to warn people that it starts out with, like, universal praise, but some people just don't like where it goes at the end.
Well, so I haven't read any of the manga. I probably should, maybe just for comparison, but I do know that half of it is when Rin is, like, very young in nursery school, and then there's a time jump for the second half of it or something. So, I don't know. If I get really into the manga, I might read ahead before this ends. But both of those Noitama shows are going to go just for one season, so you'll can sort of figure how well they'll be paced. And I don't know, with 11 episodes, they might do that. That might split in half, or if there's enough material there. So unless you have anything else about Usagi Drop.
You know what show kind of fascinates me in a weird way? Is the Idolmaster TV series.
I am continuing to watch that, even though it's not that good. I mean,
it seems like it has, it has way bigger a budget than it has any right to have.
Well, A1.
The
Idolmaster makes crazy money, Pat. Crazy money.
It could still make crazy money if it was animated by Dean instead of A1.
They had A1 has had experience in doing openings, like concert, like openings with Kanagi and probably other things, and I don't know, but yeah, they probably could get by with someone else, but if they're having to deal with like 11 or 12 different main characters, not including the producer, I don't know. Maybe they just decided that they've had other stuff that is popular, and I think I think all the people from the games are voicing their characters, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh really?
I believe so. And unlike the earlier Idolmaster anime, Xenoglossia, this one is actually supposedly sticking pretty close to the Idolmaster canon.
The canon.
Plus,
canon with a C, not a K.
Plus, I have insider information. This is the first on your podcast, Tom. Mura from Berserk, he threatened never to write Berserk again if the animation wasn't top quality. That's what happened. I'm sure of it. I mean, I made that up, but I'm sure that's actually what happened. He said, if the animation isn't good on this, I'm going to stop writing Berserk forever. And so they had to give it top dollar.
Didn't he, like, draw something for Idolmaster recently? I can't remember what. He does a lot of Idolmaster stuff, doesn't he?
He also does a lot of Vocaloid work. He did that cover for the Gakkapod CD because he does, like, freelance, like, free work. Like, you don't have to pay me. Here's just work from me for, like, for Vocaloid or other stuff that he is crazy into.
Yeah, it must be nice to be that guy. Just goes, hey, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm drawing my Berserk when I feel like it. But just when I feel like it. I'll finish it eventually.
All right, I'm trying to look through the list of at least stuff I've watched. Rokubu, or whatever, the basketball show, the elementary school basketball show, that has a good amount of basketball content in it. So I'm probably going to watch that more. There are some, you know, uncomfortable moments. Like, there are, like, a few bath scenes, and when they, like, introduce themselves to Subaru, who's taking the role as their coach a couple times. Like, they're in maid outfits, and then later on they're in something different. I'm a sports guy. I liked that part of it a lot. And then there's also, like, the high school sort of romance between, like, Aoi, the girl in Subaru's class that also is athletic. So, I don't know. I'm probably one of the few people who is going to continue to watch it for the sports reason and not the other stuff. But
you can keep doing that and tell me how it turns out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Yuri.
I've just seen pictures of that and been skeeved out enough not to touch it.
Yeah, the promotional stuff is mainly about the girls, but, you know, each of them have their own little things they have to get over. Although Saki, I think that's her name, the glasses girl. I don't think she's had much of an issue. But there's, like, the tall girl who doesn't want to be reminded she's tall. The weak, easygoing girl who, I don't know, eventually will get a little better. The girl who's actually played basketball before, what was the other one? The girl who messes around with everyone else and tries to insinuate things, like a relationship between Subaru and one of the girls. I don't know. But no, it's all right. It's a sports thing. So a different type of girls in sports thing than Soft Tenny from last season. Definitely less censoring during the broadcast, although there's probably some steam somewhere. But I think since no one else has really watched it, we're going to move on. Let's see, what else? Dentai no Shoka, I also watched today, the first episode of that, and I was alright. You know, it was Gainax, but not, like, guts.
It was
and
pay
stuff.
The bills, Gainax.
Yeah, it looked pretty, and I like the two characters. There's a lot of dark scenes, so it's hard to see sometimes.
That's never a good thing.
Well, I mean, it's not like too hard to see, but I mean, it's if you're going into a mansion at night that has these monsters coming from a demon book that's not supposed to exist. I don't know. But that could be okay.
It was inoffensive, but it was definitely one of Gainax does interesting stuff, and then they do, let's just adapt something and get some money in our coffers, and then never think about that show again. And it was definitely one of those. It definitely did their dark scenes better than Blade.
Have you watched Blade?
No. Yeah. I haven't seen any of the Marvel anime stuff.
I've seen the first episode of Iron Man and the first episode of X-Men. I haven't bothered with Blade. How was it, Al? Did it suck?
It was mondo bland, though. Blade isn't that interesting of a character to me. And then they did nothing to make him at all interesting.
You know, it's really depressing when they do four Marvel anime. If any one of those had Kawajiri directing it, it would have been an instant classic. But they don't have him touching any of them. I think he did some storyboards for some of them. And that's like it. It's like, come on, guys. Seriously. Blade would have been awesome that way. But it's clear that this is Madhouse paying the bills, too.
X-Men was pretty good, but the fight scenes in Blade are so boring. It would be like there are four vampires on the screen and Blade, and you'll see him like in his finishing pose, and then they all light up into flames and turn to dust. And you're like, did you guys run out of money with X-Men? And we're like, I got... Everybody put their money on the table, and I'm sure we can finish this episode with what we got in our pockets.
Oh, boy.
It's not Gundam Mushashi. Let's not, you know, be too harsh on Blade, but it is pretty bleh.
Now, the one I wanted to ask you about, though, is... Kami-sama Dolls. Has anybody watched that?
I was going to, but I didn't get around to it today.
Because the trailer looked really interesting to me, but I haven't heard anybody mention it.
I don't know. No, I caught one of the ending songs from like some iTunes Japan list recently, and that's Chiaki Ishikawa, who did Uninstall for Boku no, and I guess she does the opening and ending, but I still haven't actually watched the show properly.
I know Otaku Generation looked at like the first two episodes and they said it's fine, but they were nothing about the show was bad, but nothing on the show was like, no guys, you gotta watch this. It's just like, they're these people and they're in this like small village and they can summon these gods and there seems to be something going on in the background, and one guy leaves the village and he comes back and you don't know why, but there's nothing super compelling but nothing super bad about any of the characters. There seems to be a lot of blood and collateral damage. They don't seem to mind killing off civilians, but...
Yeah, that's good.
But, yeah, it seems like one of those shows that if you waited till the end of the season and then just checked out the episode bloggers and see what their ultimate thumbs up, thumbs down was, that might be the best way to do it.
Yeah. I'll take that advice.
I don't know what else.
What about the ones that I know Sentai announced a couple of simulcasts this past weekend.
Yeah, so one of those was Rokubo. One of them, yeah. Or Rokubo, whatever. One of them was Ikkoku Crosse, the Japanese girl in 19th century France, one. And trying to think what...
Seems like people have been liking that one.
I watched... It was the... It's... Not, I mean, some stuff happens, but it's slow paced, and
it's mostly cute girl being cute in France.
Yeah, you know, she breaks something, but she's tries to help at the metalworks place that she's staying at. The father, at least in the first episode, was like bringing stuff back from Japan, and you know, was trying to get the I guess it's nephew to understand there's different customs in Japan when she, the girl's bowing and everything. Let's see, was it, okay, so the third one was, that's going to be simulcast as, yeah, Kamisama no Memocho, which I started a little bit with, like, the first couple of minutes, and I was going to get back to it, but I didn't. So, I don't know.
Just didn't do it for you.
Pats! The one in France, the highest praise I could give it is a moe show that Kate watched and enjoyed.
That's pretty high praise, though.
That's right, something.
So
I don't know. It's cute. It kind of has that Emma in France kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't want a kind of slightly moeified like period piece. You're gonna just stare at the screen and be like, something happened. But if you like a cute little romance set in France, it's entertaining. I'm just hoping I'm not gonna watch it because I don't have a Sentai.
That's right. You got to give them money for their stream, don't you?
The press release that came out about it said this series will be free to watch. Registration is required, so that'd be a free account thing. The other ones don't. So yeah, I don't know. Next week, then try that on Tuesday and see if you can watch the first or couple of episodes on there.
Check that out.
Yeah, so they're starting to roll them out like one each day next week, although Kamisama no Momocho starts Sunday the 31st of July. And then they'll do, once they get up to episode 4, they'll start 5 on a regular weekly basis and until the end of each of these. But yeah, so, you know, if it's free, why not? I think I still just have some latent subscription to that I just haven't watched anything in the past couple of months, but I don't know. Maybe when that starts up next week, I'll look at it again. Kamisama no Memocho, like I said, I didn't watch that.
I saw that.
Like an hour, right? Or
yeah.
So, well, 44 yeah. minutes, yeah.
It was 2 episodes in one. So it was,
they do that they for that, but not for Penguin Drum. That's not cool.
The show is entertaining. The problem is that it has the problem of the two main characters are kind of blando, whereas the supporting cast is much more interesting. Because like the main girl is all, she's kind of a low rent Victorique from Gosick.
Yeah,
and the main guy is kind of a more boring main guy from Gosick. But like the support people in the detective agency are kind of entertaining, and the mysteries so far seem decent.
Okay, so if the mysteries are fine, then that's all right. I have to try to get back into Gosick. I started that. I think I'm still on like the third or so episode where they're still on that ship. so I'm way behind. But I don't know. That'll probably be like after the other stuff I'm keeping up with. Yeah, not a lot. Oh, Sacred Seven. I didn't watch the trailer. Yep. Looked interesting, I guess. Kind of.
It's certainly not. I mean, it's not original. It's more like, you know, a bunch of random plot elements all thrown together into sort of this mixed salad type of thing. But it was entertaining. The enemies, these cool little kind of stone statue type things, were interesting. You know, I'll give it another week or two.
I just saw it as a tokusatsu show that just happened to be animated, and when I sat back and I watched it like that, I enjoyed the goodness out of it, because it was just fun. I'm a guy, I got a power, I'm learning to use my power, I got to fight that monster in a week. There's obviously going to be, lesser tokusatsu heroes who have cool powers, but not as cool as our main hero. Because I watched like the third episode, and there are obviously other people who have stone powers. If you go into it expecting, once again, a Power Ranger-y type show, it's lots of fun.
Yeah, I have it in my notes here as Code Geass, or however you pronounce it, meets Power Rangers.
Nice. I guess I gotta watch this.
Yeah, it's at Hulu and at least that.
It's on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, that too. Okay, we'll go there maybe. Because you'll get higher quality video if whatever plan.
Oh, I mean, Hulu would be higher quality for free.
Yeah, for free. Or if you wanted to wait a week. Well, no, even that, you don't get 720p. That's right.
Right, just the standard def.
Yeah. All right. But maybe I don't know if there's any specific ones you want to talk about. I wanted to go over some comedies. I didn't watch too many comedies. I saw the like Morita wa Mukichi shorts. They're really short episodes, but they were kind of cute, and those are all right. Let's see what else. The Cat God one was all right.
I'll tell you what not to watch. Do not watch Mayo Cheeky. Oh God, that was like one. That was the worst thing we watched all this preview. I have no idea why on goodness's green earth, why on Saber's green earth, Kate put Mayo Cheeky on the list. But that show was so bad. So
tell me why it was bad.
Okay.
Tell me about the badness. Explain it to me.
It's a trap.
It's about this girl. I'm going to spoil it right away. It's this girl who's pretending to be a butler who has a sadistic mistress who for some reason wants to protect since the butler's family has protected her family for so long, she wants to keep this girl in her service, so she has the girl cross-dress as a butler to protect her. But this guy who's afraid of girls finds out the secret, so they blackmail him into not revealing her secret by teaching him to touch girls, by teaching him to touch the butler girl.
Dear Lord.
I do want to give this at least one episode just to see this.
I'll watch it once.
Seen some of the promo art, like the I don't know if you'd call her the tan girl, but the one that was wearing like the cat ears and the blonde hair kind of caught my eye. I don't know what sort of role she plays in that.
In the first episode, she is just a cat girl walking around in the school, and everybody else in the school is completely normal. But she is a cat girl with like tails and an ear, and there's no explanation. She just has a conversation with one character, and she seems like kind of a ditz, and it is just she's a girl who is also part cat. That is just something that happens at this school.
It's the token cat girl.
Yeah. All right. But what was I going to try to pronounce? Well, Crunchyroll sort of shortened it to cat god. Nekogami Yao Yorazu. There's basically a light comedy with some beings as like the god of pestilence, the god of cherry blossoms or whatever, and the main one, the cat god, is played by Haruka Tomatsu, and was kicked out of heaven because she was, or whatever the god's place was, for fooling around, and so she's on Earth, and you know, she either helps out with something or screws up and then has to help fix it. And then there are like two other deities who are like fighting over mirroring the cat god. I don't know. It's an okay show. It's very not a lot of drama in it, except for when they have to do whatever the episode plot is.
You know, I gotta say something about Crunchyroll. I don't watch a lot on their site, just because they don't really get much that I'm that interested in a lot of times. But I do like that they let you actually... Like, early on, I was really critical of the way they organized their site. It drove me insane. But the way it is now, where you can actually view shows by season...
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and
yes.
Sort things out, I really like. I like that I can just click that, and now I know what's currently airing that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice change. It's not going to make me watch much on their site. There's multiple reasons for that, but it's still pretty cool.
Definite improvement.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much, I think, what I'd seen,
well,
and if you have anything else, be sure to bring it up.
Yeah, and this is sort of a guilty pleasure, but I couldn't say no to the cuteness, Nyanpire.
Oh yeah, that started.
It's just cute. You know, they're short, so not a whole lot of time investment, and the ending theme is catchy as hell, and the girl is cute too.
I heard that it seems to be a good way for Gonzo to get back on their feet. And generally, it kind of has like a Hello Kitty-ish kind of, this is going to be good merchandise, and if it catches on.
They've already started selling Nyanpire stuff. And the interesting thing about it is it's actually based off of a doujin work. So that's kind of interesting.
Oh, I wanted to ask everybody, is anyone watching anything that carried over from last season?
I'm, Nichijou, I'm still watching week to week.
I've been meaning to watch that. It looks pretty funny.
Yeah, just give an episode a try. It starts out, like, split between two sort of courses. One is with the three main schoolgirls, and then the other is with the, a professor and a Nano, the android robot. So, and then other side characters start getting introduced. But yeah, you can get a sense of the pacing and I don't know. They have like little segments split between, so it's not like one long thing through the whole episode. And
cool.
They even say like Nichijou number five or something in between those segments. So, like, the latest one had added up to, like, 68 or 70 or something. What else? Steins Gate, I'm still catching up on last season stuff for that, but it's kind of like the science fiction time travel aspect of it. And I like the art style. Looks really, really nice. I don't know what else for me from last season.
I'm still watching Hanasaku Iroha. It kind of still has its ups and downs. I'm still entertained. I think Kate still kind of watches it, but I know that when it's good, it's really good. But when it's bad, it's kind of, come on. Do we need so much service in this series?
Yeah, Tiger and Bunny, I still need, I'm probably am coming close to the end of the first season of that. And that is one that I'm really wanting to catch up.
Tiger and Bunny, I need to watch because I've only been told that I'd like it. So
it's
I just
so
haven't
fun.
Gotten around to it.
It's still fun. There have been some interesting plot twists and developments. It looks like it's building up to something interesting. I'm kind of curious how it's all going to play out. But so far, it is on a good trajectory to end really strongly.
Hmm. Yeah. So I think that might do it for the anime watching part of the show. We've gone for probably about, 49 minutes, so...
About that.
Yeah, so let's talk about what's coming up next weekend at Otakon. Notably, Pats and Al will be there, and I'll be going for my second year. Let's see. Because the schedule came out earlier this week.
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Which, in all honesty, usually with these big things, you have a lot of clashes. I don't have a ton of stuff that's clashing for me. One or two, and some that I really can't understand, but overall, not a lot of stuff that's frustrating me in terms of stuff clashing. Because I personally, there's stuff clashing with, Trigun. The one that really is driving me nuts is they put the premiere of Makoto Shinkai's new movie against Masao Murayama's panel.
Since there are two of us, I'm going to go to the Masao Murayama panel, and Kate will go to the Shinkai movie. I'll take a bullet for the team.
Yeah, I'm not really... I mean, I have it marked on my schedule, but if the whole thing, I guess it gets kept out from the Q&A, but if the whole thing's planned to be 3 hours, I might just be hanging to other panels, because there's something... Because that's supposed to be Saturday at 10, and there's something before that... by Gyaru culture, and then something after that of fan fiction and something, and then there's a Rumiko Takahashi thing. So yeah, I don't mind it. I could probably watch it later.
But I feel like I jumped the gun on that one. Why don't we talk about who's actually there before we talk about the schedule?
Yes, yeah. So they announced a lot of guests in the last couple of weeks, which isn't too uncommon for conventions, but yeah.
Especially not Otakon.
Yeah, Makoto Shinkai will be there with his latest film.
His new film about lovers that can't be together for some reason.
And gee, that sounds familiar.
Beautiful skyscapes.
Yes.
And, what was the Nobuo Iematsu is actually going to be around for one day for a concert, and that was a surprise to hear about.
Yeah, the concert's Saturday, so they were like, alright, so he's doing a panel on Friday, which is pretty damn cool.
And a signing for a benefit signing.
Oh yeah. That's right. So if you donate $20 to the Japanese Red Cross, you can get an autograph from him, which is pretty darn cool.
Mm.
And then Masao Murayama's back. He's the head of Madhouse.
Yeah, I missed him last time, so I'll try
to... He's there almost every year. He's an honorary staff member. He's been there so much. And The sad thing is, the general rule of thumb, and I know I was talking to Al about this, it's like, I was upset that his panel was against that movie, but then it's like, well, I'll just go to his autograph signing, because then it'll just be me and him, and we can have a conversation. Because that's the sad thing about, like, people like him. He's a cool dude, and he's been in animation for so long that you can ask him about anything, and he'll go on forever. And you go to his panels or you go to his autograph signings, and they're damn near empty.
You can see the tumbleweeds.
Yeah, pretty much. But he is a really cool guy. If anyone going there, if you get a chance, go to his panel. Hopefully he does more than one, because he's one of those guys that'll just go on forever. I remember the first time I saw him, I asked him a question about digital animation, and he just talked for like 20 minutes. It was the coolest thing, just because you could tell he was this massive wealth of information.
If you can't attend the panel on Sunday, there's a Japanese directors and producers panel, and I'm sure he'll be on there.
Oh, there is? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
10:30.
Yeah.
Nice. That is going to be something to go to.
He did hint that he was going to make some kind of announcement at Otakon. So,
yeah, I saw that. I wonder if it has anything to do with this special
screening, yeah.
After the Shinkai movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, the thing that's...
I think everybody thinks it's going to be Redline, or at least that's what they have their fingers crossed.
It could fit. It's 90 minutes. So.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes, so it could fit in that space. The thing that's jarring about this room, the HD screening room, which is where they always have the big showings, is they don't have any room clear scheduled.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
So you got that big premiere, then you got the surprise premiere, then you got the Trigun movie.
Then you got
the Haruhi movie.
The Haruhi dub movie, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a lot back to back.
Yeah.
So that's all going to get pushed back. And honestly, I don't think it's that big a deal, because at the end of that, you've got Vampire Bund and High School of the Dead. I don't think people are going to be crying too much about those being pushed back. But I can see everything here in this room running a little late on Saturday. And
that room also has the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood premiere.
Well, it does. That's another day, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank
it's still
God.
Saturday, but it's a different room.
Oh, another room, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Isn't it Saturday?
Video room one at 5:30. So, yeah, it is a different room.
Basically, what I've decided is I'm not going to see that movie. Because 5:30 on Saturday in Video Room 1 essentially means it's going to be packed to the brim, and you would have to get in line 2 or 3 hours early for it.
Yeah.
Especially since it's after the AMV contest and they don't have a room clear scheduled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll see. If I don't have anything, I might go to that. But
I would like to see it. Yeah, exactly. It's already been licensed, so we'll see it. It'll probably get a theater run. It would be cool to see it a month after it opened in Japan. I'm not going to stress it too much. I'd be more interested in going to the Q&A with the director afterwards, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially since this guy, he hasn't actually directed much, and this is his only involvement in FMA. He had nothing to do with either TV series. So, it'll be interesting to hear him talk about the franchise.
Yeah, well, I saw Trigun a few weekends ago. Maybe it was last weekend. And I really enjoyed it. If you've seen Trigun, the TV series, before, the same characters, some new characters for this specific movie, good action, good humor, so... You know, and if you haven't, you can probably pick it up anyway. There's not a lot of backstory that needs to get explained, although some of the prior relationships kind of add to the humor.
I thought it was weird that everybody had these weird high expectations that it was going to tell some epic story.
No.
When it was very clearly set in the middle of the Trigun series, and it was not it was just going to be a throwaway filler episode, like a really big budget throwaway filler episode. I don't know why anybody thought it would be anything different.
Yeah. That's one that's really, like, the problem is they scheduled so much back-to-back in that room on Saturday that I'm not going to all of that stuff. So I'd be willing to go to maybe the Shinkai movie, and I definitely want to find out what the surprise premiere is.
Yeah.
But besides that, I'm not going to be stressing out seeing all these movies. It's cool that they have them all, but I'm not missing the entire rest of the convention sitting in one room for 6 hours. As cool as that room is, and it is a very nice room.
Yeah, I saw probably a bunch of other people. What was it? Welcome to the Space Show last year, if I'm remembering the right room.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other guests, I like that they have Noboru Ishiguro coming. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, it's the guy who did Megazone and Legend of the Galactic Heroes, and he's here to show you his new fan service cute girl project that he's working on. It's like, sorry, bros. Like, nice timing, guys. But
Scandi S will just be as good as Legend of Galactic Heroes. I promise you.
He was great last year, because he was here last year, too, and he was talking about Titania, which definitely didn't hit the way Legend of the Galactic Heroes did, and it was really just him. There was this one panel that I went to, and it was basically him sitting there at the panel, spoiling.
Oh. Yeah, okay, so you were talking about Titania being spoiled and
everything. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Now this time I can remember to bring Megazone 2-3 for him to sign, though.
Yeah, I looked over the guests, and there's some I want to get signed, certainly Shinkai sign something. I don't know, I bought five centimeters per second a while ago just to do that. And some of the, like Maruyama, like you mentioned, some of the other ones, I would just look over the list, not a lot of them pop out at me.
Like, I'm definitely going to get Ishiguro to sign Megazone, and then I'm trying to decide when I'm going to have Maruyama sign. I did just order Cyber City Uedo on DVD for like $3 a couple days ago, and that should be here before Otakon. So I'm probably going to get him to sign that. If not, I'll probably... I'm going to hand him that and Millennium Actress at the same time. And just see how he responds.
I was about to say, you should get, even though Ishiguro didn't really work on it, you should get him to sign Megazone 2-3 Part 3 and say, I love Hardon.
Oh, man, that has got to be the most unfortunately named thing. I mean, I'm guessing it's probably a nod to the Sega game Hang On, but still, come on, guys, you could have thought of a better name for that.
Yeah, probably.
Well, the other thing that a lot of the guests are a lot of the guests are Hitalia related.
So yeah, they're like, having some large panel.
Because yeah, a lot of the American and Japanese voice actors are, hey, I did a voice on Hitalia. Hitalia fangirls come to this room and, you know,
So the Hitalia mania has finally spread to the East Coast then.
Well, they had some large premiere of the dub last year. This time, I think it's Hitalia World Series.
That Yeah, they premiered the dub last year, I think, and it was nuts. And now they've got the director here on top of one or two Japanese voice actors and pretty much all the major players from the English. So I'm trying to look for where the director is on the schedule.
Let me see. Bob Shirohata.
Like, does he have a actual panel, or is he just the Hitalia panel?
I think he has. He might have.
He has his own panel with somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Shirohata. And, okay, so it's him with the voice actor from Japan. And then I imagine he'll be on all the Hitalia panels, too. Oh, that's except for the Hitalia Model UN. Oh, no, actually, he probably will be there. God, the Hitalia Model UN. That sounds like a horrible experience.
Horribly great!
No.
Okay, that's not true.
What else? Oh. There'd be the usual industry panels. Yeah, yeah. Go or not. That's your choice. A vertical. I didn't go to verticals last year, so is everyone still there? Okay.
Every back.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. I'm here. Yeah. Al is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so vertical. Okay. I didn't go to last year's. It's conflicting stuff.
Here.
So that might be one I actually go to, just to see see how that works. And ask, see a lot of people
vertical
ask meaningful
cool.
license yeah. requests.
You could always
every
just go
year,
in, and if you do,
go ahead, Al.
I was about to say you could always just go and ask at random manga questions once he has finished his vertical pitch, and he will always answer them, even if they have nothing to do with vertical.
What I was going to say, every year I kind of say to myself I'm going to stop going to industry panels because I always find them more boring than anything else. I'm never really that into them because it's all stuff that I can be in a different panel and read on Twitter and find out the same information as being in the panel. I'm probably going to go to vertical this year just so I can make random license requests in a panel. And I'll probably go to Sunrise just because it's a Sunrise guy.
Yeah.
And I can tell a Sunrise guy to give me the stuff I want. And then the thing is they've got Sunrise and Bandai back to back.
Well, they sort of did that at AX where they had Bandai first and then the Gundam panel right after it. So maybe they're just doing the flip side for Otakon.
So.
And they did some big Gundam announcement last year at Otakon, Bandai did. So, I mean, they're probably not... I mean, they do other stuff than Gundam, obviously, but... and it says, the description says for the Sunrise panel that they're going to... executive producer of Tiger and Bunny... will be there.
Yeah, he's a guest.
He's a guest, yeah. So
yeah, so he's going to be talking about Tiger and Bunny, and they'll be talking about
other productions.
Sunrise.
Yeah.
But the two panels back-to-back is 3 hours. And as much as I'm interested in Bandai, and believe me, I am, and I would like to ask them questions, that's a long time, too. Anything where I'm committing to 3 hours in one place... is hard to do, especially when it's against stuff like Bandai goes against Mike Tools dubs That Time Forgot.
Yeah.
Which is always something worth going to. So it's always hard to say, yeah, I'll miss something big like that to listen to Bandai. And I made the decision to go to it last year, and it started out okay. They didn't really talk about much. Then they decided to do a little impromptu K-On! Concert.
I heard that from outside.
And it was at that moment that I regretted going to this panel. It's like, I don't have a problem with K-On! Or anything. I actually kind of like K-On!, which, if you know me, is probably a little bit of a surprise. But it just felt like a waste of my time being in that room. I wasn't enjoying it.
At least at this year's Anime Expo, they broke out the K-On! Concert into a separate event.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
There was still late parts of the convention that was one of them, but yeah, it was nice that they had some separate thing there.
they were also at the I forget what was it, the Crunch, which they're at one of the booths doing their song and dance thing as well.
Yeah,
I imagine Bandai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Bandai's been pushing K-On hard.
The thing I found. Oh.
No, I didn't have anything. Go ahead.
Oh, I was the weirdest thing on Saturday is the underrated mecha panel, the sunrise panel, and the Gundam panel are all at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck possessed them to do that.
That's just also weird.
It's I don't go to Gundam panels.
One slot.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, all the only, basically the only mecha panels, and they're all against each other. Also, at the same time, they're screening Gundam Unicorn.
Yeah.
All of these things at the exact same time.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
There are not that many mecha fans at Otakon that they have to, you know,
break them up.
Yeah.
It's basically, they'll all start in the underrated mecha panel or Sunrise, and then the ones that want to go talk about Gundam will either
leave halfway through Sunrise to go to that.
Which would be ridiculous, too. I don't know. It's a really weird decision there. I wonder if they even realized that they did it. Interestingly, like, Bandai said they have some stuff to announce. That's half of why I want to go to their panel, because I want to see if they're going to announce something I want or something I don't want. It can really go either way.
But isn't Crunchyroll News and Anime News Network and everybody and their mom going to mention what they said in that panel?
Exactly. That's why, or Scott. Yeah, so it's not that hard to not go to that. I just want to see them announce some Double Zeta. I just want to see the crowd reaction if they announce something stupid like Double Zeta.
It's victory,
not to say
guys.
That I wouldn't buy it, because I will buy it, because I waste my money on stupid stuff like that. But not a lot of people will.
That's funny. Sorry.
They just don't realize the power of Luruka.
Yeah, only you do, Al.
I see.
Yeah, I used to kick myself for missing all the industry panels, but this year at Expo, I kind of had this epiphany. I'm like, well, it happened when, you know, I started getting, you know, I picked up my iPhone. It's like, I can read Twitter here. I could look at the ANN headlines here. Why am I in this room? I'd rather be out at the convention, you know, doing fun stuff, you know?
Yeah, the main industry panels, I went to, like, a couple of them during Anime Expo. There were some of the minor ones that were, like, the doujin game or indie game production one. Digital Mangos Guild thing had just an explanation of the process that they were doing. And they revealed, like, a whole bunch of yaoi titles that are going to be their first stuff. But yeah, especially when they start to get to the Q&A and not the best quality of questions coming from the people stepping up there.
Besides, I have friends that go to the industry panel, so I have evil minions to do my work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am curious to go to the Manga Gamer panel, only because they've been licensing some interesting visual novels recently.
Like, yeah, they
did Kara no Shoujo, which was this, like, historical detective one, and I played the demo, and that was really cool. And they have that, like, Dendeko Striker, the one that has the Jam Endo from Jam Project doing the opening, and it basically looks like a tokusatsu visual novel.
I might actually play that just because of that.
They have a free demo coming out not too long, so
I'll have to give it a taste.
Yeah, they also made
I can handle all the boobs.
They also made a big distribution deal with the J-List, did they not?
Yeah, they're going to have hard copies through J-List.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's cool.
Although some of them, I think, are like the all ages stuff, but they've a fair number of them on there right now, like DeCapo 2 and Guilty the Sin. Higurashi is on there. So, yeah, Guilty the Sin. Oh, yeah, I did say it's from that. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Basically, my feeling with industry panels at this point is I'll go to it if it's someone I want to ask a question to. If I have questions for them, I will go to that panel. Like, if I had specific questions for Funimation or Bandai or anyone else, it's worth going there just so I can ask a question bluntly. But if I'm just going there to listen to them, because I can read everything on the internet after the fact. So, Vertical I want to go to, Crunchyroll is against Vertical,
I would go to that and ask what's going on with their digital manga initiative. I haven't heard a lot about that recently.
Yeah, they're interesting. Aniplex is always
an interesting trailer. Yeah, they show a trailer. I've been to a couple of their ones this year. They show off Blue Exorcist. They are probably going to talk about the Rurouni Kenshin OVA on Blu-ray. They might talk more about Madoka Magica. So, I don't know. It could be.
Secret information that I know, and not secret information like my Idolmaster, actual real good secret information. Do you know that lady who always speaks at the Aniplex panels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is like the highest level American Aniplex employee.
Okay.
If you can capture her outside of a panel or ask
her any
questions.
She's the one to talk to, basically.
Yeah. You think that the way she talks, she seems like some random PR lady. But she is basically the highest that Aniplex has in the U.S. In the U.S., basically, to get higher Aniplex people, you have to go to Japan.
Wow.
She is a big decision maker, which never comes off that way. Because she seems just like some grunt that they send off to panels. But just a little insider information, if anybody had like important Aniplex questions, she can actually answer them.
Just maybe not during the panel.
Yeah.
All I remember is I went to their panel at Otakon last year and the colors were all messed up and it was a really painful experience. Yeah.
They were doing a lot of like Durara stuff last year.
Mm-hmm. And that was a big push.
Yeah, that's on Adult Swim, I guess, right now. I haven't watched it when it was on there. They might do some Madoka stuff. They might do some Durara stuff. But I don't know what else. Well, you could ask about some of their other stuff, like if they're doing that. But I don't know. Any of the fan panels?
I would plug the panels I'm doing. since Pat is a loser and doesn't know anything that is good, even if it's right in front of his nose, I will plug my two panels because I am on the internet. At 9, me and Kate are doing The Best Manga You Never Read, Tokyo Pop Edition. So we're looking back over the catalog of Tokyo Pop.
Opening panel on Friday.
It's a bunch on that time at 9. Yeah.
Which is a rough time slot. It's either... The nice thing about it, from what I've seen, is anyone that's actually managed to get into the convention will go to it because it's all you can do at this point in time. The trick is getting into the convention at 9 o'clock.
Ooh.
So you probably have a good crowd, actually. It's just a matter of if you'll be able to get there as much as if they'll be able to get there.
And it's up against some good stuff if people want to go to other things.
There's a Toho panel.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm telling you. Them Tohos.
But there's a Japanese figure panel, and it's usually by Tomo Pop, so that's usually pretty good. And there's a Weirdest Games You've Never Played. So it's not like they put, like, panels that nobody cares about at that time.
It's weird that Toho's at 9 in the morning. Shouldn't that be at like 11 at night? Because really, do you need to see all those dudes dressed like Toho characters at 9 in the morning?
Those dudes dressed like Toho's are always dressed like Toho's. Toho's for life.
Were you going to say something, Donald?
Yeah. I was just going to say that running a 9 a.m. Panel, I feel your pain. At last year's expo, I did our podcasting panel. We were scheduled on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. This was the morning after Masquerade and doubtless a bunch of drunken debauchery. And I was amazed that we actually had people still there. We had like a good-sized crowd, 25, 30 people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Except for the whole 9 o'clock thing.
Yeah, I was like, I felt like a zombie from High School of the Dead. You know, I was like, ugh.
I think I once had to do an anime recruitment panel at Otakon at that time, and it was like I had just been to like the Dave and Joel party, and I was like, I guess I am awake to do this panel.
You could have used some morning rescue. Sorry.
I saw a couple of cosplayers in that at Fanime, and they're probably there
were some at Expo too.
Yeah,
I mostly know that because
none of them rappelled down from the ceiling though, which was kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
I mostly know that from Madoka more than anything else.
Yeah, well, there's actually like and then you guys have. Al and Kate have was it Investigating Detective Anime on Saturday at 3.
To warn people, that might only be me.
Okay.
Because I think we're up against like a movie premiere, so I think
Trigun.
I think Kate's going to the Trigun movie, so it'll just be my sorry bum teaching you about Detective Anime. If you wanted the cute girl, you will be out of luck.
Yeah, well, there's actually a fair number of fan panels I want to go to, there's some like creator specific ones, like there's a Go Nagai one, there's a Rumiko Takahashi one.
I really want to know who's doing that Go Nagai one.
Yeah, that's Sunday at 10.
I know it's not Daryl Surratt, so I got to wonder who could do that panel that's not Daryl Surratt. And not just make it be, oh my god, look at how shocking everything is. So, we'll wait and see on that one.
You know, yep. Daryl's just going to be in the back.
He's going to be in the front leering the whole time. And correcting him at every chance he has.
His hand is just like halfway up, ready to be fully up. Being like, yes. Corrected! He's just got the Phoenix Wright objection. Hold it on a soundboard, ready to go.
I hope I manage to get into Anime's Craziest Death, because I've never seen it. And it's always packed. Always.
I try to get into it the first year, a half an hour early, and I was told, go home. Like, go find something else to do.
Yeah. Exactly, and I really would like to see it, though. I've probably seen 90% of what he's going to show, but I'd still like to go to that panel.
Yeah, so there's, that's actually against Lady's Choice, A Guide to Hentai, which is supposed to be an exploration of hentai that girls may find fun, even empowering. So I'll have to make a game time decision of which to go to.
It's probably more of a try to get into Anime's Craziest Deaths, and when you don't, go to Lady's Choice.
Yeah.
Because that's usually what happens.
And then the first title is Bible Black, and you're like, wait a second!
They're screening Bible Black. Against Anime's Craziest Deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. There are actually some panels that sound pretty interesting, though. Fan panels, other ones that I thought were kind of that stood out to me. There's the Anime's Pirate Legacy. I don't know who's doing that, but that could be cool.
If it is the one that Kate has gone to at a different con, it is not that good.
No.
It's just like a few, like it's like clips from One Piece and like then like one or two other shows that maybe have pirates, and it's like, all right, I guess.
The description mentions Harlock, so that's at least another one.
If it mentions Harlock, that gives me hope. Because if you talk about the legacy and don't talk about Harlock, you don't know what you're talking about. So there's also the panel that I think is going to be one of the most hilarious experiences in a way. It's going to be depressing and hilarious is the Mega Man panel on Friday. Because there's been nothing but bad news concerning Mega Man lately.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be like, it's either going to be everybody really sad or everybody really pissed and swearing off Capcom forever. So I'm expecting the pissed off.
Yeah. There's, I heard this mentioned on the Ancast episode where Jim Bowles was on there.
Yeah.
There's a Fukushima Daiichi panel on Friday night that I guess is going to have one of the Otakon staff members who deals in the nuclear
engineering industry. I remembered him talking about that. That sounds really cool. It's at 9:30
on Friday.
Panel one. Yeah. I feel like that's definitely worth plugging. Someone who actually knows what they're talking about the nuclear reactors.
Yeah, especially considering all the FUD that's been spread about that by our lovely, wonderful Western news media.
Mm-hmm. That sounds, man. And there's nothing major against it that I'd be I'd go to instead. I think I'm going to be there for that one.
I was thinking of totally blowing that off. I might want to participate in the Otakon game show.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to that before. It's definitely interesting. It looks like a lot of fun. It's definitely something that you win.
I wanted to go to like the 5 o'clock qualification, and if I didn't get in, then I'd probably go to that. But if I could get in, I've never participated in the game show, so I want that.
I don't know how
you could
get in.
If they got saber questions, then it's done.
Look, after my conversation with you last night about the Fate Stay Night universe, if you don't get into this thing and win, I will be surprised. Honestly.
Okay. Look, Pat. Everybody knows how the grill selection system works. It's just common knowledge among anime fans.
Like, I went to it last year with someone, and we just listened to the questions, and we're just both kind of sitting there, and I'm just, like, answering them, and I'm like, why don't these people know these answers? It's this experience of, man, I'm way too big of a nerd. But I should be up there proving how big of a nerd I am.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of the other ones? There's one, was it Saturday at midnight? It's called When the Walls Start Closing In, Hikikomori and Ijime. And I'm wondering how much they will go into like actual accounts of people and not just like occasions in anime. And so that one is an 18 plus one, like many of the stuff after 11, and then some of the stuff a little earlier than that. I don't know what other
ones. Oh man, Otakon. Oh, on Saturday night against that one, there's a Capcom fan panel. God, Capcom fans this weekend are going to be funny as hell. They're all going to be so mad because I'm like me. And it's just going to be ridiculous. I almost want to go to that just because of that. But it's against cross-dressing for girls. So obviously, I need to go check that out.
Yeah.
Damn.
But yeah, no. I mean, there's the occasional ones that are like, oh, if it's not with something else. Overclock Remix. I've been to the site in the past. So I don't know if that's not conflicting. Let's see what else. I did mention the Gyaru culture reveal to Destroy Nets.
Hello, Tom.
It's at 9 a.m. On Saturday, so it's against unusual manga genres, which I've seen a similar panel at Fanime, and they did go through like specific authors and stuff. So I don't know how different will that be. At Dubs Time for God, I'll try to get into that. I didn't last year. Fandom and criticism.
Yeah, I managed to get into that last year. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, if you can get into it, it's worth going to.
I went to Mike Tool last year. He had the cult panel.
Yeah.
Where they showed some of the stuff from like Ayum, Shiro, and some of the other. So, and that was an interesting look at some obscure things.
Yeah, Mike Tool definitely does good panels, and that's why he's always there. And they're always entertaining. So I'm going to try to go to that one, and there's nothing against it that I want to go to that I recall. Bandai. But meh.
One I always recommend is a Bad Anime Bad.
Who does that?
I forget the name of the guy who does it, but it's just like these horrible dubbed animes that are just like this Frankenstein, like sometimes he mixes it up, but there's like a Frankenstein one and Vampire Hunters and just you know, all those Korean knockoff Space Adventure Kids and just wonderful stuff. And his commentary really kind of like, he basically just shows you the best scenes, and he has just beautiful commentary. It's always a fun time, especially if you've never seen any of it before. And he always has something new every time.
One that I've gone to, I went to on the past on a lark a couple years ago, and I never get a chance to go to it because it's always against stuff I care about, is Anime Parliament. And it's not something amazing. It's not... But it's really surreal because it's really – the name's misleading because it's really more of like anime court where you go up and you make up, you know, your own case claiming stupid stuff. Like there was – one of the ones I saw was Sephiroth is a ripoff of Kefka, and then it was people arguing about that for 5 minutes. And it's a weird experience. It was actually kind of fun. And it's Friday afternoon, so that's a better time than it's usually at. So I might try to go to it because it's clever, and they actually like keep track of the shit they do, which is really weird. They make judgments on stuff, and they go to a lot of cons to do this, it looks like. So
yeah, I think, weren't they at Expo this year?
They might have been. I don't really follow them. I just know that they do all that shit, and they seemed kind of cool. Though, you know, it's basically people sitting around getting butthurt about anime stuff for an hour, but that's always fun in a way.
Yeah, not a lot else. If you haven't been to any of Alex Levitz's panels in the past, he's doing his anime opening and closing themes.
Wait, again. I didn't think he was at Otakon.
Well, if he's not, then maybe someone else is doing his panel for him on Sunday morning. So, I don't know. Let me go to...
I know at Anime Next this year, cosplay comedian Joe did a opening and closing.
Maybe that's him, yeah, because I don't see anything on his blog about that. So yeah, maybe it's just going to be him or something. Because there were multiple panels about that at Anime Expo. So maybe it's that, but
it's a fairly easy but popular panel.
Yeah,
to do,
it
so
is.
I can't see why anybody else wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and you could just like say the progression of it. You know, add some educational content to it. Rather than just showing openings.
Something else on Sunday afternoon is Brentel Floss has a panel. If you know who that is, he's that guy who likes to sing on top of the Mega Man 2 theme. That was kind of popular on the internet a couple years ago. And apparently he has a panel at Otakon this year. So, alright, sounds good. That could be a thing to go to if there's nothing else.
It's late on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's actually against
Viz.
Rolling
Kelt's Japanese IP.
Intellectual property. I saw a couple of his panels at SakuraCon, and he has a fair number of next weekend. So he's a good speaker. He knows his stuff. So
yeah, I was going to try and go to that, so I won't be able to make it to Brennelfloss.
Yeah.
Also, Viz has a panel here this year. They're actually at Otakon, which they usually aren't.
Yeah,
so.
Well, look for them to push a little bit Mama Sheba, the little bean characters.
Really?
Yeah, because that was one of their things at Anime Expo. But they'll probably have their usual other stuff. And they'll have a booth and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yay. Otakon, I can't wait. I really can't. I am so ready for this thing.
Yeah.
Get out of town for a couple days.
Yeah.
When are you coming in?
I'm flying Thursday, and I think I'm coming in like around 5? Let me look. Yeah, it's like 5, and then the gain to the main center would probably be a half hour. So by 6, I think I'll be...
Awesome.
Here.
Yeah. I'm getting in pretty early, because I'm going to go check out that...
The street festival.
Yeah, they're holding a street festival before the convention on Thursday. And I'm taking the train up there, and I moved it up, so I'm going on an earlier train so I can check it out at least for an hour. To see how it is and see what they're doing.
I know Kate wanted to go earlier, but everyone was like, I don't want to wake up early. So we're going later. So we're going to miss that.
All right. And if there's anything, there's a whole... the whole schedule for Otakon is on the website at otakon.com, and there's actually a separate panels roster by alphabetical order on there as well, at least from the news items on the right side of the page. So you can look through and pick through. This year, Otakon is partnering with the Guidebook app. It used to be called Conventionist, but you can download it and scroll through it on your smartphone and select items and set reminders to go to certain panels. And so that's a pretty neat thing, just an additional thing to let people know about.
That is a great app. Anime Los Angeles used it this year, back when it was still called Conventionist. And they have versions for iPhone, Android, and I think they have a web version now as well that can be accessed on any smartphone. It works really well. Contrast that to the really crappy web app that Anime Expo did this year. It was horrid.
It was basically a PDF for part of it.
It was horrid.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I mean, it's like slow as molasses. You could only sort by one category. So, like, if you sorted by, name or something, then you'd lose your sort by time, and then you'd have all the events jumbled together. It was just horrible. There was no search.
Now, let me ask you, does this app store your the schedule locally?
Yeah, yes. Download guides.
Okay.
So it downloads.
They're stored locally, and you can flag events, and you can set it to remind you, X minutes before.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a great app.
The app that New York Comic Con had last year, I liked the app, but it didn't actually store the schedule locally. So you had to go – every time you wanted to check anything, it had to go online and download the damn schedule.
It leaves the iPod Touch users out of the game.
Yeah, and it leaves anybody in the convention center out of the game because nobody's getting a cell signal in the convention center. So that was like handy once the entire weekend.
Oy.
Yeah.
Or look, Pat, all you had to do was walk out of the convention center and walk a block away and it would update.
Yeah.
That's
I was lucky sometimes with mine. It would cooperate every once in a while, but everyone I knew that had an iPhone basically didn't use it. All right, so I just downloaded the app right now, and I'm downloading Oticon's schedule. That's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, and there was an update earlier today, I think. So
oh, really?
I don't know what changed to the schedule, but it had something.
Or they have a special events category.
Yeah, although that's really just the
relative.
Opening ceremonies, which, you know, they have all the guests that come out and introduce themselves. They had last year, like, a couple of musical performances. So if you're around, it's Friday at 1, so if you're still around there and want to just give an overview of the guests, that's all right to go to. But not
it gives you a list of everybody in the dealer's room.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's the schedule. I like this app.
It's a slick app. And here's the cool thing about it is obviously, you know, you the way it works is you pay them and they'll create a guide for you. It's fairly reasonable for a larger organization like, you know, Oticon or SPJ or something. But if you're a smaller con, you can actually have them create a basic con guide for you for free. So it's great for smaller conventions like NMALA and stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah, because it's got directions,
maps.
They have a survey built in.
It's a really, really well put together app.
It really is. I like this. I'm glad I downloaded it. I'm glad you guys mentioned it. This is very cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if anyone else has anything to say for Oticon or any other conventions.
Yay, Oticon.
Yeah.
If you see me or Kate, we'll always say hello. So say hello.
One of these days, I got to make my way out back over there.
Oh yeah, you got to.
Yeah. So I think I'll be. Throughout some of the conventions earlier this year, I've been wearing some Japanese baseball hats. So I think this time it's going to be the blue Seibu Lions cap. So I don't know if I'll wear it all 3 days, but if you see that, that's probably going to be me on one of those days.
I know on Saturday I will be wearing my Fade Zero shirt.
I'm going to be wearing pants. Probably a shirt. I promise nothing. But pants are definitely part of the plan as of now.
All right. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Nagarmasen podcast. Thank you for joining me, all of you, Al, Pats, and Donald.
Yeah, it was fun.
To see,
always fun.
Some of you guys at Oticon next weekend. So until next time, which, given the pace of the releases on this, I don't know when it'll be.
Eventually.
But, yeah, until next time.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
So do I. I just released my first episode of my podcast in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
That's a really good schedule for me.
Yeah.
So go me. Go listen to it, everybody.
Yeah.
Talk about Jay Decker with Al's partner in crime.
As long as we're plugging shows, we just released part two of our Anime Expo wrap-up episode panel discussion thingy of
there
Doom.
Go.
Got more AX coverage coming up, some interviews. I posted some video from the Hatsune Miku concert and got some more video coming up, Masquerade videos, other stuff. So keep an eye on the Otaku no Podcast website.
Yeah, so that's at otakunopodcast.com. And I think your thing, Pats, was...
It's insert-disc.com.
Okay.
Yeah, so go check that out. There should be some more cool stuff up sometime soon. So check it out. There's also a lot of Sonic articles.
Yeah, I do see Sonic retrospective articles on here.
Yeah, a lot of Sonic retrospective articles. I don't write those. But, yeah, they're there. What about you, Al?
You should also plug that every Wednesday. You guys do I Don't Even.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I Don't Even. Every Wednesday we watch bad movies and TV shows and laugh at them. Last week we watched Heil, Honey, I'm Home, which is an awful, offensive sitcom about Hitler living in an apartment next to some Jews.
Oh, dear.
It was canceled during the airing of the first episode, is I think what I heard. We also watched Cop Rock, which wasn't nearly as entertaining as Heil, Honey, I'm Home. I don't know what we're watching this coming week yet, because it's usually me and Kyle, the other guy that do the site, we talk to on Monday. He'll message me going, "So, what are we doing?" And I'm like, "I don't know." Basically, it's either if I have something I absolutely want to watch, we watch that. If not, Kyle just picks something randomly off his DVD shelf because he has a lot of shit movies. So, keep an eye out for that. We need more people to come to that. Owl will attest to it. It's a ton of fun, usually, when it's not physically harmful.
Like Birdemic.
Birdemic was pretty awesome. We watched Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly, and that was magical. So, check this stuff out.
R. Kelly is truly a wordsmith.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
A musical genius.
But I'm on ReverseThieves.com. We are now doing stuff almost always 6 days a week. We have a bunch of SWAT reviews coming out. Or if you go to anime3000.com. So me and Kate, we watched the first episode of a bunch of the shows from the new season. We talk about them for 10 minutes. And we have a whole bunch of other stuff. We just finished up Legend of Galactic Heroes. So that's pretty epic. And, you know, I talk about Pretty Cure, and Kate talks about going to the theaters and watching the PSA with Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. It's esoteric and fun.
I just want to plug one thing that you guys do that has brought me a great amount of fun every year, and it's a little early, but you might want to keep an eye out for this. It's the Anime Secret Santa Project.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just... I have had the best time, and basically the premise is, you know, a bunch of bloggers send in anime titles for each other to review. They all get thrown in a virtual hat and sort of mixed around, and, you know, Secret Santa style, you get to assign choices. A choice of three anime to some random person, but only they don't know who gave the assignments to them. And it's an absolute joy. I've been lucky so far in that the series that I've been given, I've pretty much jived with, and the ones that I've given to the other people, they've pretty much jived with. But in reading some of the reviews, there are cases where that is not the case, and some of those are pretty hilariously funny.
We're trying to figure out a way to do a manga version of it as well, and do like the manga version in the summer and the anime version in the winter. But
Christmas in July.
There you go.
It was supposed to be like manga summer reading. The main problem is finding a good way to make a list. If anybody has a good way to make a list of all the manga you've read, that is easy to do, because the problem is, even with Anime Secret Santa, people always leave stuff off their My Anime list. And everything I've seen for manga listing programs either is everything you've read, like Goodreads.
Yeah.
Or is like the My Anime list also has My Manga list. But they list all the doujin that you could also get. So their list is like five times longer. And I'm like, I just have this image of like Ed Sizemore giving me a list. And I'm like, there's no Tezuka stuff on this list. Get the hell out of my program.
And their Anime Planet has manga, but it's probably not as broad robust, database yeah. as MyAnime List version or Goodreads, where you can, or some of the other book tracking sites where you can put an ISBN number and just get a listing there.
I need something in between there for this project to work. So I'm still looking for that.
Godspeed, sir.
And so I'll have hopefully not too detailed show notes, but some of the links to stuff that was referenced during this podcast at nagoramasen.com. It shouldn't be too much of a turnaround, and that's probably going to go up tomorrow in time for people to hear about the Otakon stuff and summer stuff. That's they could listen to that next season and still be able to watch some of the stuff. So, all right, that seems to be it. I hope you guys have a good night and stay cool. It's hot all over the country. So, bye.
Good night.
Night.
Sayonara, Johnny.